Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Show powered by PDC Energy. I'm live from the Allo Communications Studios on this wonderful Monday morning, or Monday afternoon, I guess. It was a beautiful drive in with the rain and everything. It was much better than some of the snow that we thought we were going to get over the weekend. And I was running around State Track a lot this weekend. They postponed things Friday, moved things around Friday, late notice, and then I go to Saturday, and then Sunday we had it. So it was crazy down there. They got tons of snow. Jeffco Stadium, like, there was snow in the bleachers from when they'd been cleaning it all off. Nothing like that happened up here. Crazy weekend. We're going to get into the Avs-Blues series. That thing just went way to heck. I mean, 90 miles an hour, here we go. After everything that happened with Nazem Kadri, I mean, my goodness. He's also my player of the week, by the way. We're going to go with Kadri because he, not just the stats, but you know what? This is ridiculous. Some of the crap that's going on coming out of St. Louis's camp about, listen, you could be a dirty player, you could be a bat, you can do those kind of things. And I know last year Kadri was, got in that big deal with, eight games suspension, eight-game ban with the illegal hit to the head of Justin Falk. And then you look, you know, their coach is coming back, Berube's coming back saying, look at, you know, his past and what he's done. That's all I'm going to say about it. Watch the play. I mean, he's going for the rebound. There's a puck there, and he just, it's one of those things where I look at it, it's like a bang-bang play. Running into Jordan Binnington. I mean, if Kale Rosen's not there, you just watch it. I mean, I'm watching it 4 million times. If Rosen's not there, he's going to get a shot off and fade off to the right or to the left of Binnington. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Here is Kadri at the end of that game, who is now getting death threats via social media. The police are now involved. Here's our player of the week presented by Red Wing Shoes in Greeley in Johnstown.
I just see a loose puck, really. I mean, I was kind of just sitting behind him and just tried to poke it with my stick. And I think their, defenseman kind of collided with me and pushed me into him. So, you know, had that not been the case, I don't think I would have hit him at all. It's a loose puck. I'm just trying to bang it in.
That's what it looked like. Now, again, I'm trying to be very subjective here and back away. I've seen Nikola Jokic get into altercations on the basketball floor and gets knocked out of a game. You go to the Heat situation with Mr. Morris earlier in the year. You go back last year to the Phoenix Suns situation. And I have to try to look at this both ways and say, hey, Morris should have never ran into the side of Joker. He retaliated. I wasn't crazy that he went for him at the back, but that's how basketball is. Last year when Joker was going for the ball, he ends up swinging and hitting a guy in the face. Again, I still said I don't think it was the end of the world, but you do have to control your emotions and go for a better type of reach for the basketball. This is less than that. This is less than those plays. There is a puck bouncing off of Binnington, and Kadri goes for it, sees the defender. In my, what I viewed, it looked like he kind of spotted the defender in that last moment where, oh, great, he's kind of cutting in. I have to push into, and he did. He did kind of go into him with his shoulder. But that was also to brace for impact and try to move out of the way. That's what I saw. What did you see? First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. And with that, Jades, congratulations to you, my man. Graduation, you're moving on. You're going to the University of Northern Colorado. That is fantastic. I'm proud of you, man. Great having you on board. I mean, you're the youngest producer in the world. This is an amazing thing. You've already got the leg up on everybody you're going to be going to college with in the media world of things. So you're going to tear it up. You're going to be fantastic. So congratulations to you. Did you have a fun weekend? Was it good? You guys had a blast. I wasn't able to get there. I mean, I was all over the place with state track. I didn't know if it was going to be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Who knows? But I'm glad you had a good time, my man.
Yeah, it was great. And it was kind of worrying for me, too, because my party was with another one of my buddies, and he was at state track. So we didn't know what was going to happen with that, what that meant for our party, what was going to happen.
Yeah, that's nuts, man. The weather kind of put a damper on everything. But you got it done. You walked. And again, I know that's really special for you. A lot of these kids graduating this year in the last couple of years because of 2020 being the way it was. So getting a chance to, you know, bust through that somehow. Some kids say they had a okay experience. Some said classes were easier. Some said it was brutal. But for you guys to bust through that, man, my oldest niece is like your age. I think she's like 6 months younger. She's not quite 18. But she, you know, is emotional for her at state track. She's graduating this weekend. But just kind of crazy to think about all that you guys on that side, the school side. Something I didn't even have to even fathom when I was going to high school as far as canceling classes and Zoom calls and all that. So, again, an interesting road, but you got through it, man.
Yeah, it was a much-needed graduation, but I'm glad to be done.
All done. Now you're setting your sights on the University of Northern Colorado, and it'll be a lot of fun. We'll have Jades running the show here on the other side of the bulletproof glass, doing a fantastic job as he does. I want your thoughts on a couple of things today before I get to the good, the bad, the ugly. Is there any part of you that looked at that play with Nazim Kadri and said, yeah, that was a little dirty. Yeah, he could have pulled up. Yeah, he could have fought that. Because personally, I don't. I didn't. Was he a little out of control? I didn't think he was out of control until he noticed the defenseman, until he looked up and the defenseman was kind of cutting inward. I thought that was where I went with it. So I want your thoughts there. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. June is coming up. Next week, in fact. What will David Roddy do in the month of June? Will David Roddy be drafted in the first round of the NBA draft, the second round of the NBA draft, or will he announce that he is coming back to Colorado State? Now, me reading tea leaves, the NBA is telling me one thing. My boy David, we are friends, we are tight, did tweet at me a very big story that made me believe he might be considering Colorado State. He did retweet a Crazy Carl's pizza list on Twitter. There was a list of the best pizza places in Fort Collins, and Crazy Carl's was obviously on that list. David reshared that tweet, tagged me in it, and I said, okay, does that mean he's trying to stay in good with Crazy Carl's pizza? Is he going, does that, again, no. I'm not reading into it that much, but if he sticks around, you know we're going to have the David Roddy show here on the whole show, here during the whole show every single week. And I got to think that that's something he's thinking about in the back of his head. He's like, I'm the radio show. All that stuff still could happen for me. And again, it's not an enticement, Jades, because we're already doing it. And he already plays for CSU. It's not to get him to go anywhere else. In fact, it's to pull him away. Can we get in trouble from pulling him away from the NBA for this? Well, Brady, he could have made $1 million in the NBA. And then you and Crazy Carl stepped in. All right, let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly. Presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. Well, the good for me, aside from all this stuff going on with Kadri, it was a win for the Avs in St. Louis. I'll admit, when they lost game two and they duked it out in game one and barely pulled it off in overtime, I was a little concerned, but seeing how this game unfolded, especially now that Bennington's out for the series, you feel really good. Avs got it done. Kazim Kadri gets my Red Wing Shoes player of the week as well.
Out of the box comes Buznevich. Granted it over the car. Score! Kadri on the tip, and it's 2-1 Colorado.
There we go. And he, listen, I mean, he's been a solid player in this series. That's why, you know, one of the reasons he got my player of the week, but also just because of the garbage going on and the ability to stand up and go out there and lace him up tonight is a big deal to me. The bad is, all right, you won one game against the Mets, so that's cool. But at the end of the day, it's still a series loss at home, and the Rockies are still a couple of games under 500. That's the bad, is a series loss to a really good team.
And Lindor hits it through the hole, base hit, and that'll bring in the first run of the game. Nimmo trots in to score. Lindor gets the job done with a base hit, and the Mets have a 1-0 lead in the sixth. And Pete grounds one down to first, and that'll get a run in. Joe gets the out at first as Lindor comes home to make it 2-0 New York.
Hey. So we're going to take a look at the rest of May. Can the Rockies somehow find a way to get back over 500 before we turn the calendar over into June? We're going to take a look at the schedule. The ugly... This headline is ugly. Colorado Avalanche working with law enforcement in St. Louis regarding threats made towards center Nazem Kadri after Game 3. Threats followed a series, of course, the series-ending injury to Jordan Binnington. We know it was quickly into the game this all happened. But now you're getting... the fact that he's subject to racist attacks and threats via social media and everything is just despicable. At the end of the day, it's a hockey game. He didn't raise his stick up to hit a guy in the head. He wasn't trying to poke anybody in the eye with his stick. It was a bang-bang play. He was trying to get a goal for his team, and it looked that way. And this is where we're going to go? This is absolutely ridiculous. Kadri is a Muslim of Lebanese descent and now subject to this garbage via social media. I dug around and saw some of it. And it's just ridiculous. Why are we going there? If you don't like the player because of his attitude, great. Call him out for dirty plays. I'd rather you go there. You want to call him a dirty player, go there. But don't go on the racist attack thing. This is ridiculous. And now he's got, like, security around the hotel room. You guys are out of your mind. It's a freaking game. It is a freaking game. Have fun with it. If you want to call him out for other things, do it, but let's not bring this other stuff in. And let's get away from the freaking threats. What's that about? And you know what? I've got to be honest. The Blues coach didn't really help. I mean, Craig Berube didn't really help when he was asked about the situation. Here's what he had to say.
That's, I don't know. Look at Kadri's reputation. That's all I got to say.
I mean, are you surprised? There's no call. I mean, he didn't make any effort to slow down. Kind of leaned into Rosen.
I don't know. That's not up to me.
Aren't the rules of the game set up to protect the goalie?
Yeah, they are.
Listen, it's not like he roasted him completely, but he said, look at his reputation. And then he goes on to, doesn't really put any of the fire out, necessarily. It was a bang-bang play. So you're going to cite his reputation? You have to be able to look at this just like we're trying to be here. You can't go back and look at... I mean, he served an eight-game ban for last year's illegal check to the head of Justin Falk. So he served his time. And then you take this. This is a completely different situation. Completely different. There was no penalty called on the play. The NHL Department of Player Safety determined there was no supplemental discipline necessary for him. So they all went back and figured this out. Any idiot like me, who's not a hockey guy, can look at that and say, he's not charging the goalie. He's not necessarily out of control. He saw a puck in front of the goalie on a rebound. He went to go get it. He sees a player to his right, leans in, maybe a shoulder thrust, but either way, leans in to try to either pad his fall or wherever he's going to go. And then ultimately, he was pushed kind of back into him. Cale Rosen's body and momentum sent Kadri into the goalie. That's what it is. It was a bang-bang play. Unfortunate for Binnington. Nobody wants to see that. I don't. That was the play. Bama Bear, what's the over-under on some fists oh fury tonight? Yeah, we're going to get into that opening face-off and just go down, right? Just go at it. You can get idiots on social media. I mean, these are guys that are have decent following. They're like, I want blood tonight. There better be blood. Somebody's got to know their role on this team, meaning they don't have a really good role on this team, and take one for the team and go at him. I'm all for playing rough and sending messages, but different types of messages. And first off, it wasn't one of those plays where I looked at and said, man, he's just trying to hurt a goalie. You know, as far as the reporter's question to Berube, like, isn't that their job to protect the goalie? Yeah, from their own players, too. I'm telling you, watch it over and over again, and I have. If Cale Rosen's not there in that play, which I'm not saying he shouldn't have been, he's trying to save a goal as well. If he's not in that play, this doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. Even the headline says, 6 minutes and 45 seconds into the first period of Game 3, Kadri and Blues defenseman Cale Rosen crashed into Binnington. That's how it went. That's a pretty good summary of what happened. 21 minutes after the hour, our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. What's going to happen in the month of June for David Roddy? First round, second round, or is he coming back to CSU? I'll read the results at theholeshow.com when we come back, at least for now, and we'll see where you guys are sitting on this side of things. 22 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Short break coming up. We'll talk some big man David Roddy coming up next. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We are live, rocking and rolling on this Monday afternoon from the Allo Communications Studios. We'll be right back.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Coach McCaffrey, your UNC head football coach, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 27 minutes after the hour. Welcome back into the show. A shout out to On the Rocks Liquor. We're still rounding up our Game Beer of the Week information. They're located half a mile south of Highway 34 and 47th Avenue. They got the free wine and beer tastings every single week. Fridays, most of the time, 4 to 7. Sometimes they're throwing in a Saturday as well. So you want to keep that up at the top of your mind. It's a perfect opportunity to try new things. Get a free tasting of several different items, then you can, who knows, maybe you're going to find your next go-to beer, your next game beer, your next game wine, or spirit. That's On the Rocks Liquor. They are, again, half a mile south of Highway 34 and 47th Avenue. If you know where Buffalo Wild Wings is, that's where they are. They're close by, real close by. Tell them we sent you here from The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We are going to have a good friend, a new friend of the station, of the show anyway. Brendan Vogt of DNVR Nuggets will be on to talk to us about Tim Connelly. Say it ain't so. Apparently we're getting far in this talk with the Minnesota Timberwolves about the Nuggets president of basketball operations perhaps moving on to Minnesota. It would be for more money, not a better job. Let's make that clear. The better job is here in Denver. Can the Cronkies pony up the dollars? That's the question. So we'll talk to him. The Method Flow Products poll question of the day: what will go down with David Roddy in the month of June? He'll get drafted in the first round, he'll get drafted in the second round, or he's going to announce that he's coming back to Colorado State for one more year. Here we go. Look at this. 57.8% saying he's going to get drafted in the second round of the draft. 36% still hanging on. He will announce that he's coming back to Colorado State for one more year. Only 5% of the hooligans actually believe that David Roddy is going to go first round in the draft, 5%. And if the 5% are right, or wrong, I mean, if the 5% are wrong, that's how we say that, so 95% not thinking that, then I think he'll be back. I would say if it's, you know, if you can't almost guarantee a sure thing a first round, let me see if I can improve that stock a little bit. That's a big difference in money. 29 minutes after the hour, short break coming up. Brendan Vogt of DNVR Nuggets coming up next. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Twelve o'clock. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We better not be hearing that music for Tim Connelly. Any Wolfpack references or anything like that? I don't know if you meant to do that, Jades, but great work by you. This is why who you are. You're so good at what you do. Speaking of good at what he does, Brendan Vogt of DNVR Nuggets. Brendan, my friend, great to catch up with you. You're a busy guy. There is really no off season. I get that, but we do appreciate a chance to catch up with you, my friend.
Happy to take the time, Brady. Thanks for having me on.
All right, so what's going on with Tim Connelly here? How far has this gone? And how far will it go?
Yeah, it's far. It's far, I think, just by virtue of the fact that we've heard the term serious thrown around by Shams Charania, and Woj reporting that Tim traveled to Minnesota this weekend to speak with majority owner Glenn Taylor, who would have to have the final, sign-off on any contract here. Whether that includes ownership stakes or not, the new ownership group still needs that approval. So that's the stage we're in now. And it doesn't get this far, Brady, if there's nothing to consider on Tim's end. But there is. The Wolves have the better offer on the table right now, and that's where Tim is at. He's considering a financial move, a move that's about money, and it's a really good deal for Minnesota. I don't think it's a better basketball situation. I know it's not where Tim prefers to be. He wants to be in Denver, wants to see this through. But like all of us, you have to make the right decision for you and your family, and I think that's where we're at with the money.
So, Brendan, you're seeing, the tweets and a lot of the Nuggets fans coming out talking about the Kroenkes. They're not willing to pony up. Let's move aside from the ownership stakes at this point. Let's just assume Minnesota's tossing out a crazy number.
Sure.
Are the Nuggets? And I don't know if they're at a point where they'll want to talk any ownership stakes either. But are the Kroenkes prepared to go to a certain amount, a large amount? Because we know what happened several years ago with Masai Ujiri.
Sure.
It feels very similar to that. Do you think the Nuggets, the Kroenkes, would be prepared to raise that up the ante, to at least match any kind of financial offer
Sure.
outside of ownership stakes?
Well, let's remember, we went through this before, right? That dream job in Washington, they came calling for Tim. Tim did take that conversation. He took the pitch. Then he went back to the Kroenkes, and he got a bit of a raise. Now, Tim is not one of the top-tier paid executives in this league. He's just not, even after that raise. And the Wolves are seeking to make him one of the top-paid executives in the league. I think if the Kroenkes were willing to match that number, there's no discussion here. We've probably already heard that Tim is staying in Denver. Again, that I can tell you, knowing Tim in the limited capacity that I do, he does not want to leave. So can the Kroenkes put a competitive enough package together? I don't think they have to match, but can they say, look, we want to give you a contract that reflects how we feel about you a little more, which is valuable to this organization. We don't want you to go to Minnesota. But again, I think if they were willing to match, then there's no discussion here. And by virtue of the fact that we're this deep into it, I think Tim is maybe hoping to negotiate for some leverage here, for a bit of a raise. And then I'm sure he's on the clock in some sorts with Minnesota, who's only going to be so patient with this offer. So those factors are all in play.
We're talking to Brendan Vogt of DNVR Nuggets. And Brendan, what's the number? What does that salary look like, both from Minnesota? And then if you had to take a guess, how close could Denver get?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard plenty of things. I don't personally, I none of it is mine to confirm or report right now. I know Mile High Sports Radio reported that number is probably about 8 per. For Minnesota, and Tim is paid closer to 4 for Denver. I can't confirm that, but I know it's out there. I know that's what's been put out there. That's nothing I can confirm, of course.
Sure.
I don't think they have to get up to whatever that number is. I don't think they have to match it, but is there a middle ground here where they go, look, this is competitive enough for a better basketball situation where Tim goes, okay, you know, I'm doing both things here. I'm staying where I want to stay. I'm finishing this job through, but I'm also doing the right thing for me and my family. Tim, relatively young guy, I mean, offers like this don't come around very often. So there's plenty to consider on his end, and I think we're just talking about how close can the Kroenkes get.
Yeah, that will be the big one there. How close can you get? And like you said, it doesn't have to match because this is clearly the better job. You know, obviously you have the two-time MVP. You got Jamal Murray, Michael Porter coming back. Everybody thinks, okay, if we can get healthy here, Nuggets might have a real shot, especially after pulling one off against Golden State. It's looking more impressive watching what the Warriors are doing to Dallas right now. So you're thinking, okay, we get this group together. We got hardware maybe in the future, or at least a trip to the Western Conference Finals and to put it out there. But money talks. But then the other thing you brought up at the beginning of the segment, Brennan, was the ownership stake situation. Is that something the Nuggets are even close to saying, you know what, we'd like to involve you in those kind of conversations?
Yeah, that I don't know. I can't imagine, Brady. I would be blown away. We're still talking about getting the money right. From who I've talked to on the Minnesota side of the fence, the ownership stake thing is real. You know, it's a real thing they're trying to do. Again, it's a confusing situation. Like, he did the first stage of this negotiations with the 2B ownership group. But again, there's still sort of multiple parties in charge here in Minnesota. So some of this stuff is complicated. But my understanding is that ownership stake is real, and I definitely would not expect the Kroenkes to put that on the table. But I've been wrong before.
Well, and I guess, like you said, he's young. So, I mean, but will those opportunities come up? There's only so many of these opportunities, right?
Yeah.
And only so many of those opportunities are willing to say, hey, we'll add ownership stakes to it as well. So, boy, this is going to be a tough one. All right, so everything you're reading, if you just want to go to the rumor mill, you see things all over from Minnesota, right? It's like, hey, they're closing in on a deal. It's almost done. And again, that just, whether that's true or not, it's still terrifying. It means we're closer than we thought. Like you said, hey, it's getting close. What's the next step for Denver then? Calvin Booth next in line?
It sure seems that way. You know, again, not something we know for sure, but that's sort of the preparation all the local media members I've talked to are, we're making that, we're preparing for that reality. I think it's possible. Calvin Booth, I don't know how he'll do in this job. Obviously, he's been the GM for a little bit, but we know Tim was making those decisions. Arturis had some success sort of going from that position to becoming the head honcho himself in Chicago. So there's precedent there for someone sort of growing into this role and doing a great job. And there's also the reality that Tim's approach in the draft has always been best player available, more of the sort of Hooper project kind of thing, and maybe the Nuggets are in a different place in their team building right now. One could argue, I guess in theory, that a change in vision isn't disastrous, but you know what it does is it fits into an MO for ownership and a long history of just taking the cheap way out. And, you know, they were lucky. They let Masai left. They found him. I'm sure they think they can do it again, but at some point, if you want to go from, wow, we have Jokic in our organization to we are one of the premier organizations in the league, you got to start paying to keep brilliant basketball people around. And so we'll see how this shakes out.
Well, and you can only strike gold so much.
That's right.
I mean,
that's right.
Masai Ujiri was fantastic. I mean, the role he played in the post-Melo days and all that stuff was wonderful. But the Nuggets held out, didn't give him something right at that point. And look, the next step, he goes to Toronto. They get lucky with Tim Connelly. He turns this whole thing around along with Michael Malone. But you're right. When you get to the point where you can't just keep banking on, okay, the next man up is going to do this. You only have superstars like Nikola Jokic in that window for so long.
That's right. And we heard Michael Malone talk about this being arguably the most important offseason in team history. And everyone has talked about needing to capitalize on the peak of a very, very special player. And that extends far beyond paying the luxury tax, which is typically how we have this conversation. But what about practice facilities? What about the coaching staff? Who is in the front office? If they've succeeded for you, have you paid them accordingly? There's an irony to that, as that's Tim's MO. He's paid both Jamal and Michael early for the work he's seen. And the Nuggets, you know, I think are content as an organization to pay low. And so that's where we're at now. There's also a strong argument to make that had they not, right, had they given him a raise that reflected how they viewed him properly from the jump, that maybe Minnesota never even views him as this gettable. Maybe this offer never comes on the table, or maybe it's that much easier for the Kroenkes to just negotiate from that point. But that's not how they handled it, and here we are.
All right. So, in your mind, Brendan, Tim Connolly's gone, right? I mean, everything just sounds too good. Aside from the X's and O's, which I know it's a big part of it, but everything sounds too good to be true. Is it going to be true? Is Tim Connolly going to be with the Timberwolves next year?
I'm preparing for that. I am. Yeah. I am. That offer is really strong. The Wolves are in pole position. I can say this. You know, the longer this goes, like, if the Wolves are in pole position and the Kroenkes aren't willing to budge, well, then what are we talking about here, right? We probably are already reading that Woj story right now. So maybe this is a sign that there's a hang-up on Minnesota's end. Maybe the Kroenkes are being a little more aggressive than we realize. I do think the longer this drags out, that's good news for Nuggets fans. All the same, I would prepare for him to take the better offer.
All right, I'm with you. It's hard not. I mean, at first I was like, no way. And then you start reading what Minnesota's prepared to do, and you're going, okay. Even if the Kroenkes do pony it up, man, I don't think they can get that far. I wanted to get your thoughts, Brendan, watching this series between Golden State and Dallas. The Warriors now have the commanding lead. They're going to end this thing pretty soon. Does this make you go, you know what, with the Nuggets and Jamal and MPJ healthy next year, knock on wood, doesn't it? It sure makes you feel like a trip to the Western Conference Finals. If you didn't believe it beforehand, you're certainly believing it now, knowing that Dallas got this far.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm downright obnoxious when it comes to this question. I really think that's an easy answer. I think they were primed to do it the last 2 years. I know it's really easy to say, well, if they were healthy and they weren't, I accept that. But getting healthy going into next season, I don't look at any massive roadblocks the way the Warriors with Kevin Durant once presented, or prime LeBron, or even Luka, who looks to be a long-term problem in the Western Conference. That's the primary reason the Nuggets went out and got Aaron Gordon, whom they feel can guard him quite well. I do think the Nuggets, if this offseason goes well, are in a good position to make a run. But again, that just highlights how serious this Tim Connolly situation is. If this is indeed the most important offseason in team history, well, what a bummer to lose the architect just a short way away from the draft and free agency.
Boy, that's a great way to put it. If this is the most important offseason in this team's history, you're losing the guy that's, you know, been very, mostly responsible for putting this thing together. And that's not to take anything away from Michael Malone and everybody else involved here. But he's been the guy making these decisions. Brendan, while I have you, Cope, I need two predictions from you.
Sure.
Avs tonight. I mean, this is obviously, we talked about it earlier. It's getting kind of nasty down there, but Avs going to take that commanding lead and go up 3-1?
Yes, I think so. No, Binnington's got to be deflating for St. Louis. That's probably got to be one of their best shots. I'm not a huge hockey guy, but I'm a big Avs guy. Let's hop on the wave.
I'm with you. Let's go for it. How about the Rockies? Are the Rockies going to find a way? We got, what, a week and a day left in May. Will the Rockies be over 500 when we turn the calendar over to June?
I'm going to say no. Long road trip coming up, some beatable teams, but we know how the Rocks do on the road lately. Not that great. This has been a somewhat competitive team, just not a very sharp team, even before you address what they're lacking in talent. So I do think that hot start has dried up, and I do think the lack of talent is going to start to catch up with them here.
All right, Brendan, man, I know your schedule is crazy. We'd like to make this a weekly thing with you, my friend, if we can make it happen.
Yeah, you let me know, brother. Always happy to come on.
All right, my dude. We'll talk to you soon. Appreciate your time. Brendan Vogt of DNVR Nuggets. It doesn't sound good with Tim Connolly, does it? I mean, you throw around the money. I read $10 million. I read $10 million. He's saying $8 million. And these are all rumors at this point, but he's at $4 million right now. How far can you close that? 10 to 4? 10, you know, 8 to 4 is still a leap. You going to jump him up $2 million? Okay, he's making $6 million. I mean, boy, it's getting crazy. All right, 48 minutes after the hour, our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. David Roddy, in the month of June, will get drafted in the first round, second round, or decide to come back to Colorado State. It's the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We'll wrap up hour number one when we return. Don't go anywhere, I promise. It just gets better from here. We'll be right back.
It's baseball season, and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
Welcome back in. I want to thank Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service, the only family-owned and operated funeral home in the Greeley-Evans area. They have a couple of easy mottos: services as unique as life, and you know what? Live well, plan ahead. And I love that last one, live well, plan ahead. You don't need to be stressing about this. Get it done, taken care of, out of your mind, be done with it. Have a wonderful life. Give Scott, Robin, or a member of their great staff a call today. Talk to them about pre-planning. It's an amazing gift. That's Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service, the only family-owned and operated funeral home in the Greeley-Evans area. That number is 970-330-6824. All right, where are we on the Method Flow Products poll question of the day? What's going to happen with David Roddy in the month of June? We got the NBA draft late June or whatever. Is he going to get drafted in the first round? Is he going to go in the second? Or is he going to announce that he's coming back to Colorado State for one more year? It's 59%. It's changed a little bit, but most people think he's going to go ahead and declare officially and get drafted in the NBA draft in that second round, is where most of you guys are coming out on this. Oof, I'm getting the feeling, man. Yeah, because it's, I feel like his stock. I mean, Kevin brought up a good point from the Coloradoan last week. He's like, it's not that he's doing any better to raise his stock. It's just the national media is talking about him more. Well, sometimes that's the same thing, isn't it? I mean, when the national media starts to take hold. I mean, dude, I'm on the homepage of NBA.com. I clicked draft, and the third story on there is combine measurements. David Roddy's on the cover of the third story on NBA.com. I'm just doing basic, obvious stuff that we can all see. But Roddy is getting talked about, and that is a big deal. The fact that you continue to hear more and more about him in the draft and, you know, late second, early first, that's a big deal. It's certainly a big deal. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Your thoughts there. Where's he going? Where is David? What's David Roddy going to end up doing? And listen, either way, man, whatever's best for him. In the NBA, if I were David and I got it, someone's telling me, yeah, second round, easy, maybe first, I'm probably going to the NBA. I'm probably just going to go ahead and make that jump into the NBA now, because you never know what could happen your next year. Injuries, down year, down team. Maybe the team's not as good. Therefore, you're not looking as good. It's a tough road to get to where CSU got last year. Not saying they can't do it again. In fact, I fully expect them to. I think they'll be good without David. I think they'll be great with David. But you just never know. It's at the end of the day, it's a lot of things still got to go right for you. You got to perform. You got to, you know, you're going to have close games, and you got to be able to pull out those close games against top teams, all of which they did last year. Again, why couldn't they do those things again? I believe they could. But that the bottom line is you got to make the right decision for yourself. He will. He's a very smart guy. I know Rams fans don't want to hear it, but whew. I'm starting to feel more and more like we're going to see David Roddy go to the NBA. Brady, playing devil's advocate, Roddy decides not to enter the NBA. I know he wants to return to CSU. However, should a big booster offer a substantial NIL gig like Connolly, life decisions come into effect. I don't even know the ramifications there, because you're not keeping him from going to a different school. You'd be keeping him going from the NBA. I don't know, man. All right, second hour coming up next.